Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, help us as we delve into your word tonight. Speak to us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage the students tonight, and also as I'm encouraging the students, I want to also give family and friends an understanding of why your chosen one or your family member came to this particular school. If you would, turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Lindra already spoke about Romans, the 12th chapter. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Now, before we get to Romans, the 12th chapter, I have to explain myself. I have two daughters, and I had the awesome privilege during with those two daughters of watching them play softball together. They played on the team together. One batted ninth. Not that she was a bad hitter or anything. She just was quick, could get on base, so they would bat her ninth because her little sister would bat first. So they'll be batting one in front of the other. One quality that they both developed very well in playing together, and Layla is still doing it to this day, is that they are what you call, they take the pitcher deep into the count. In other words, what I mean is they were two strike hitters. Lauren would do it on purpose, being a two strike hitter, meaning that she would make the pitcher work. Make the pitcher pitch the pitch she wanted to hit. Layla, on the other hand, does it because it's her job. Being a leadoff, you had to go deep into the count, had to take the pitcher deep into the count so the other players can see what the pitcher is working with. I said all that to say this. I got two strikes. One, it's a graduation. Most people don't come to graduation to hear nobody speak. So I got one strike against me already. The second strike I got against me that came down the pipe and I had nothing to do, I couldn't do nothing about it, was some of y'all thought Apostle was going to be preaching. But see, this third strike, y'all got to sit here and listen at me. I just want to let y'all know I'm a two-strike hitter. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the second verse. It says, be not conformed to this world. If you don't have your Bibles, you look on the screen. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I got 4 points tonight that I want to stress to the students, encourage them in their journey, in their walk with God, and I want to encourage the family and friends that are here to celebrate with them. The first point that I want to make is do not, listen to me very carefully, do not conform to the world's system way of ministry. Yes, sir. Some of y'all never heard that particular phrase before. The world system way of ministry, or a way of doing things in ministry. There is a world way, then there is a God way. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, if you turn that with me, it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave, meaning Jesus gave. Jesus gave these 5 offices in the body of Christ. But the world system way of ministry is trying to do it with 3. Uh-huh. Now, there are 3 things that these 5 offices are supposed to do. 1, they're supposed to perfect the saints or mature the saints. Yes, sir. 2, they ought to help the saints complete the work of the ministry. Uh-huh. 3 is to build the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to let you answer this question for yourself. Because some people say that all apostles are dead, that they no longer exist, no longer are needed, But I'm going to let you answer this yourself. Number one, is the body of Christ perfected?
No.
Is the work of the ministry done? No. We all know they still got some people out there ain't living like they're supposed to be living. And third, is the body of Christ edified? Is it being built up? Is it growing? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So based on your answer to those three questions, then how in the world do we expect to do those three things with only three of the offices? This is what I'm talking about, conforming to the world's way of ministry. But in the words of Lindra, we will not conform, but we will transform. Meaning we will not allow the world system to dictate to us and take away two of the gifts that Jesus gave us. We will not conform to the world's way of ministry. Number two, graduates, I want you to take this second point. Do not try to be somebody that you're not. Turn me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. The 10th verse. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Don't try to be somebody else. One of the major faults with ministers in the body of Christ is that they often try to emulate the outside of a leader without trying to emulate the inside. They're trying to mimic the intangible instead of following the intangible. They're looking for a strategy on the outside instead of looking for that Holy Ghost strategy on the inside, which leads them to cover up their personality that God wants to use.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Students, don't try to be somebody that you're not. Promotion don't come from man. Promotion comes from 75th Psalm. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us the law of promotion. I'm going to let you know where it is. Luke, the 16th chapter, 11th, the 11th through the 15th verse is the law of promotion. If you've not been faithful over a few things, you can finish that scripture. Then he went on to say, if you're not faithful in that which is another man, who will give you that which is your own? People don't understand why Jesus said that. Jesus said that because he wanted us to emulate the intangibles of those that we follow. Not just the tangibles that we see, but the intangibles. Paul said to those that was following him, he said, I pray more than y'all. What Paul was saying is, I pray more than y'all, but I want you to catch up and pray along with me.
Yeah.
Following the intangibles. Promotion don't come from man. Promotion won't come from your leader. Promotion will come through your leader from God. Get that now. Promotion will come through your leader from God. God looks on the inside. God looks on the heart. What are you doing? What are you? What is your focus? That's why you have to emulate the intangible, not just the tangible. Number three, remain committed to your calling. Don't ever walk away from your calling. Remain committed to your calling. Ephesians 3, verse 1. I'm going to run through a few scriptures because there's a certain word I want to pull out of all of them. For this call, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Did you catch on to the word yet?
Yes,
2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Philemon 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Philemon 1, 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech ye that such being as one as Paul the age and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. For those of you who don't like the word prisoner, I got another way to say it. Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Which other words, just saying, he's a prisoner. Now, here's the thing about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was making reference to that in the real. Because the letter written to the Ephesians was written while he was in prison. Paul was committed to his calling. Graduates, always be committed to your calling. Finally, stay connected to the agenda of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners. We read that already. But be thou, listen to this, partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. A partaker means you're taking part. All you do is flip the word around. You're taking part. You are taking part of the agenda of God. You are a partaker. And you're a partaker, that means you're taking part of everything that goes along with it. Luke, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, partaker, stand connected. Let him come after me. Let him what? Deny himself. And take up his cross. Daily, every morning, when you wake up, as soon as you open your eyes, you're picking up the cross. How do you pick up the cross? You pick up the cross by asking God, God, what will you have me to do today? God, give me this day my daily bread. Stay connected to the agenda of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. Now watch this. Watch what Paul said. He said something here that caused inclusion to take place. He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of, not man, men we were among you. That means that Paul included not only himself, but his whole team that was with him, to be committed to the agenda of God, a partaker of the agenda of God. You have to make up in your mind, graduates, that you're going to stay connected to the agenda of God. How do you stay connected to the agenda of God? It's easy to stay connected to the agenda of God. Very easy to stay connected to the agenda of God. Simply follow his voice. We the ones make life difficult. We make life difficult. Life is not difficult. We make life difficult, but life is not difficult. You follow the voice of God and you will stay connected to the agenda of God. Now, watch this. If you don't know how to hear the voice of God, then you need to stay connected to somebody that can hear the voice of God. Samuel couldn't hear the voice of God. Samuel couldn't hear the voice of God, but God kept calling him. He kept running to Eli. To Eli realized that it wasn't him calling him, but it was God. So Eli, with his experience in knowing how to hear God, taught Samuel how to hear God. He said, now when you go back, say, God, here's your servant. Here am I. Be connected to somebody that can hear the voice of God. This is why God gave us those five gifts. If you're a pastor, those who are watching by internet, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, if you're a teacher, and you have not gotten yourself connected to the other two gifts, you are going to stay stuck going in circles Now, will God use the world system way of ministry? Yes, he will. Do I have proof? Yes, I do. God used David, didn't he? He was a king, wasn't he? Was a monarchy or king God's first choice?
No.
No. But God still used David. We get some of my most famous stories and some of my most powerful stories from King David, killing Goliath. So God will operate, but what happened is the whole kingdom of God stood still and did not go any further until the people that was listening decided to do it his way. I got to again use Linda's words. We will not conform, but we will
transform.
So as I close, graduates, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to stay connected. I want you to train yourself to hear the voice of God. That is a daily thing. The voice of God is not about decibels, how loud his voice is. It's not about how loud it could be or how low it could be. Hearing the voice of God is about relationship, based on fellowship. The more time you spend with God, the clearer his voice will become to you. The more time you spend with God, the clearer his voice will become to you. So that you'll get to the point where you can prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you'll be able to recognize where God is talking. God could be in a burning bush. He could be in a still small voice. He can come through your neighbor. He can come through a movie. He can come through a song you listen to. But you'll be able, because you spend time with God, my sheep, those that follow me, that's what he's saying, those that disciple after me, those that get accustomed to hearing my voice, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So I want to encourage you, learn to hear the voice of God. Stay connected, remain committed. Don't conform. Don't leave here and conform. You have worked too hard these past 2 years to revert back to the old way of doing things. You've learned too much about the apostolic. You've learned too much about the prophetic. You've learned too much about you to go back to God, to the old ways of doing things. This is a new paradigm. You're going to be some of the most effective people in your church because you understand apostolic order. You understand agenda. You understand remaining connected. You understand it about not conforming, but transforming. So again, graduates, I want to encourage you. Your 2 years were not in vain. God will continue to speak to you in ways that you cannot even imagine. God will use you in ways that you haven't even dreamed about. And God will bless you in ways that you've never dreamed about. Congratulations.
I should y'all pay attention to that message. At this stage in my ministry, I do what I want to do. And so we're going to change. The diploma going to be passed out after I give the charge. Leroy, I've given a powerful message. Sit down a minute. I want to give this class the charge. It's not going to be the normal charge that usually be given. I was praying in tongue in 30 seconds. I was praying in tongue for 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, the Lord spoke a word, and I believe it's for this graduating class and to everybody who came with you. This, I think, is promotional, as I give you the first charge. It's so powerful. I'll use it the rest of my life, and it's 5 words. Get out of the way. Now, any hindrance you're going through, I believe that I charge you tonight, any hindrance you're going through is somehow you were in the way. And so I ministered to two pastors a day, and I told them in their prayer time, I want them to pray over that word. Their ministry will start growing and developing. So remember, one of the charges given to this class, get out of the way. Some of y'all might pastor some of the largest churches, do some of the largest ministry, but always remember that. The next aspect of charge that I have used for 40-something years, always attend to the word. I mean, you want scriptures, it's Proverbs 4:20, John 15:7, John 6, so you can go on and on. But always attend to the word. Keep the word before you at all times. Don't go in no poems and cliches and nice saying. And no, keep the word. The power is in the word. Okay, the word always will bring you. So I charge you, always attend to the word in your prayer time and your preparation for ministry. Make sure you have that Bible right there with you. And you know, I'm not an iPad junkie. I believe in old Bessie. So I'm talking about old Bessie. You can have your iPad, but I'm talking about Bessie, all right? The next thing is, and this is so important. I've seen this empty. I've seen this absent from ministry. Absent. Continuously yield to a fresh anointing. Amen. Fresh oil. A fresh anointing is so important because this is spiritual. This is not academic. This is not science. This is not psychology. This school is dealing with the spirit realm. And you always, you know, you got scripture, John 1, John 2:27, Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38, scriptures I've used in my ministry many years, is the anointing, all right? And then, class, the leading of the Holy Spirit is the master key to ministry. I charge you, always check with the Holy Spirit before you try to make any move in ministry. Okay? Now, I want you to get this one, because if the average person don't get this, I want this to be in this charge. Your infirmities or invitation into the supernatural. Oh, you got some infirmity. You can look at me like you want. You got some. And don't throw them away. Don't try to get all of, don't never try to get rid of all your infirmity. Because that's your invitation into the supernatural. Your ability is not your invitation. You see what I'm saying? It's what you don't know. Get the good scripture for that. It's Romans 8:26-28. As I try to surmise this charge, make sure in your life the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the ministry gifts become one by praying in the Spirit continuously. When you pray in the Spirit, the fruit clusters get bigger. Uh-huh. When you pray in the Spirit, manifestation of the supernatural gift, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, they will assist you in ministry and take you places you cannot go without them. All right? They operate as the Spirit will, but when you're praying in the Spirit, you up in there with the Spirit. And then you can do a better job. All right, I'll give you two more. And I want you to pray over these the rest of your life. Remember, all your situations are opportunities for God. And when you're dealing with something, rejoice. For it's an opportunity for God to do something you couldn't do for yourself. And then replace, and you need to hear this clearly, all excuses with expectation. Your excuse has been choking your expectation. Because you're quick to holler, I can't do this, or that's too big, or that's too large. No, he's trying to get you to another level. In ministry, there's a stairway, there's the escalator, and there's the elevator. Walk them steps. Don't ever try to get on that escalator because you're not doing nothing, you're not learning nothing, you're just riding. Take the stairway at every step. At every step, there's a lesson to be learned. Escalators, you're not learning nothing, you're just riding. And you're going to mess around and get too high and can't handle it. The elevator is going to take you to the number you push. So don't kotala masha. Don't stumble around when it seemed like ministry going slow. Let me give you a little statistic. Back in 2000, the school started in 1991. In 2004, it graduated 7. 2007, it graduated 9. I never quit. God told me go. Now, every graduation is over 100 people. You see what I'm saying? But I'm still on the staff. Yeah. I see the escalator. I see the elevator. But on the staff, there's a place called Neway Station, where you spend time trusting God and asking God and that's so important. You know how to move out in the blind. Yes, sir. Well, you can trust him, you see. So you call genuinely. If God give you a genuine call, he got a place for you. But don't get on that elevator. I see something got on the elevator, and oh my, he got off on the wrong floor. And they can't handle it, man. See, every step, oh my, come on, let's get ready. Every step. You see, the Bible say the steps of a good man. Why you think he said that? Every step, there's a lesson to learn. And you ride the escalator. Lord said, that's not no steps. You see, when you're going on an escalator, you ride. So now what God gonna guard now? Seeker sensitive is the escalator. All these ministers, they don't talk about sin. They don't tell people when they're wrong to try to help people. That's the elevator. We got to preach the whole gospel. Come on, we're ready to pass out the diplomas. So that's your charges. And I tell you what, if you do that, you're going to come out all right. You do that, and then I heard Junior telling you, and I think they constantly tell you, stay connected. We're just taking off. That's a great flight we're on.